So several years ago, Teresa and I were on a vacation trip, and part of that vacation trip involved, well, she calls these places antique stores. If you own an antique store, please don't be offended. I call them junk stores because, whatever. So we went into this particular place over in East Texas somewhere, and as she was perusing through the store, she came across this. This piece. It's. She just said, "Be careful." It's called, I'm told, a steamer trunk. All right. I called it something to clutter my garage. But whatever the case, she found this, and it was old enough that if you looked at some of the stickers, the freight stickers that were on there, you could tell that it was fairly old, and it had been some interesting places, I suppose. And so so let me interrupt the story to give you men a public service announcement. Let me give you a life hack in your marriage, all right? If you will listen to what your wife says during the course of the year, you don't have to work too hard at finding a birthday present for her when the time comes, all right? Because she'll let you know ahead of time what she wants, right? And so, Teresa, she's looking at that thing. I was looking at it thinking, why would anybody want to buy that? And about that time, she said, I would love to have that. And so in my mind, I thought, remember this. So she went off shopping for something else. I walked up to the counter, and I told the guy, I said, look, I want to buy that, but I can't buy it today. I wanted to surprise her for her birthday, which was several months away, and I said, so what can I do? And so we talked about it, kind of set a deal up, and I got his business card. I went back home in the South Texas at the time, and she had no idea what I was doing. I went back, and I talked to a friend of mine who owns a trucking company, and they do business all over the United States and Mexico, and so I said, hey, do you have any trucks that go through that particular area? He said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I have trucks that go through there all the time. I said, would it be possible for me to get one of your truck drivers to swing by there and just throw that thing on the back? And he said, we'll take care of it. He said, I'll just make sure that it happens. And so I secured this item that Teresa wanted, and I kept it hidden from her until it was time for the big reveal. I guess his birthday might have been Christmas, whatever it was, all right? And so when she saw that, I was hero of the day. Hadn't happened since, but that day was a great day for us. Here's what I want you to get from that. Some things are worth the effort to secure them and to hold on to them in your life. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. In Proverbs 31, we come to a text that actually is misunderstood, and I think that's an important statement for us as we come into it today. Now, I have a very limited time today and a fairly complex approach that I wanted to take, so I'm going to adjust it down some because I know that we need to get these moms out to special lunches. And so just know I'm aware of the clock, and we'll make sure that we get it all done in the proper amount of time. But here's the problem when we come to Proverbs chapter 31. We'll begin reading in a moment in verse 10. But often this is one of those preferred Mother's Day texts because it talks about this virtuous woman, or as some translations will say, a woman who is noble. Well, the reality is that there's a little complexity to what we find here, here in Proverbs 31. And so we're going to talk about it. Let me just read through it here, and we'll come back and make a few statements. Verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household are all clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the leaders of the land, the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. What a great picture of that noble, virtuous woman. My mother taught a ladies' retreat at one point using this text as her guide. Teresa told me after that, actually we were talking about it on our trip this weekend to Odessa and back, and she said that as after the end of that particular retreat and Bible study, one of the young ladies, one of the young wives in the group, after hearing about this noble, virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, made this comment. She said, "I think that fits my husband much more than it fits me." Guys, that's not something that you should laugh too hard at, because it's not a bad approach for you to plan toward. Are you the virtuous person? Let me highlight two things about this, and I'll try to do it quickly. First of all, let's just take the literal teaching of this, and that is applied to ladies. Ladies, as I was reading through that, did you find it to be a little bit challenging? Did you find it to be one of those things that you go, well, you know, 14 out of 24 is not bad? Well, we should hear it for what it is. Those who put together the book of Proverbs come to this end part of it, and it lays out a picture of that ideal Hebrew woman in their society of the day. It's an interesting observation, because women in Hebrew society of the time normally didn't get this kind of press. They might have lived this way, but they rarely got credit for living this way. It's an interesting social dynamic that's going on here, and we could talk a lot about the structure of it all, but the social dynamic that is behind this, the context of it, is worth hearing. Because in first, or it's not first century, but in the time in which this was written, the family unit was the main unit of society. These people, the whole family unit, had to work together. As a matter of fact, the family unit overcame the importance of the individual. In our world, it's mostly about the individual, but for them, it was about the family unit. And everything they did, the economic reality of their lives together as a family, depended on them coming together and working together and supplying the things that they needed for life. And as we read through this, and I'm going to encourage you to go back and spend some real time in this passage and unpack it, if you will, and look at how many different elements of that social unit, that family unit that had to provide everything that they did to get by, look at how much this noble, virtuous woman was responsible for the well-being of everybody in her family unit. To you ladies, as a point of application here, you should see this and recognize those are points to which I can direct my efforts. That I might be a woman within my family unit, whatever that is, who has that capacity to enable everybody else to function well. It is an investment of self into the lives of others. Maybe that's why this is such a popular Mother's Day text. Because it does seem to capture the life of a mother. Or we have a new point of reference to refer to you ladies, especially those of you who have children. We know that you are Uber drivers for those kids. Always going somewhere, moving from one appointment to the next, one practice to the next, one performance to the next, swinging through the modern approach to the kitchen, which is a fast food drive-through lane. Applying yourself into the lives of your family for the good of the social family unit. That's a picture. That's not the only picture here. And if you happen to be one of those ladies, let me just lay this application, I'll move on. But if you happen to be one of those ladies, here's a good application exercise to take out of here today. Take one of these characteristics a day and pray that the Lord would build that into you every day. It'll take you a while to work through that, and then you can just start over again in your list. Because if you live as this lady is described for us, not only will your life be blessed, but so will the lives of people around you. The other part of this that I want you to see today is that this is not just applicable for ladies. As a matter of fact, there's something about this text that we need to see. And in order to do that, we need to step back away from it and from the tendency we have to just kind of dig in and pull all the little pieces out. Let me get you to step back with me to see the entire book of Proverbs together. As I was working on this message, I pulled several different translations of Scripture to look at different words and different characteristics. By the way, this is a Hebrew poem. And it's an acrostic poem, so every main line of this poem starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is great poetry, but the fact that it is poetry is an indicator for us that there's more to this than just identifying what ladies need to work on. And so let's take that step back and let's look at the bigger sweep of the book of Proverbs. And what we find is what I saw in one of those translations where the subheading started with this word, epilogue. In other words, this particular passage that we have read this morning serves as the back end bookend to the entire collection of wisdom sayings in the book of Proverbs. And the front end bookend gives us a clue on how we might look at Proverbs 31. In the first three chapters especially, but really, some scholars say you can push it all the way through Proverbs chapter 9. In the first handful of chapters, we find that the writer of Proverbs considers or refers to wisdom in the form of a lady. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go back, keep your place here, but go back with me to Proverbs chapter 1. The personification of wisdom in the form of a woman. Proverbs chapter 1, and we begin reading in verse 20, and it says this: wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks. I could continue reading, I won't do it there, but I will jump over to chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. And we see another example of wisdom personified in the voice of a lady. Verse 13, chapter 3, through verse 18, we read this: blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She, that is wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast call her blessed. And so if we work our way through that, you could go back to the first 10 verses of chapter 3, but you'll find in that progression of that first handful of chapters that this lady wisdom is presented as one who benefits your life. That's the front bookend. The back bookend is Proverbs 31, where once again we find a woman coming to the center of the spotlight, center stage, if you will, and lays out for us what the benefit of her in that family has for that family. So the broader application that we draw from this is that the way the book of Proverbs is put together identifies wisdom as that primary hold in our daily lives that help us to live the way God intended us to live. Several things we could say about that. If we had time, we would elaborate. Let me just hit this point for you. One of the realities for us is that we don't always really dig in on day-to-day stuff in our Christian lives. It's not that we don't believe, and it's not that we don't hold on to those key truths, but so often it's easy for us to just kind of grab hold of that bigger perspective in life and lose sight of the little things. For instance, how should a Christian handle himself or herself in a business transaction? How should a Christian handle himself or herself in a family feud? How should a Christian handle himself or herself in a school environment? We could just go down the line and all these different pieces of how the Christian life is lived out among us or in us, among other people, and it causes us to step back and go, okay, so what does God have to say about how I handle myself in a business context? The book of Proverbs is a place that Christians should dive into on a regular basis. If you'll read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day, you'll get through the whole book in a month. And if you'll repeat that every month, 12 times in 1 year, you'll have the opportunity to get some of those little pearls of wisdom. And when you put them all together, according to the way the book of Proverbs is designed, the book ends, it'll change the way you see the world. So the writer of Proverbs comes to the end of this, and here's the most important part of the whole sermon. How do you get wisdom? Once again, bookends help us answer that. In Proverbs chapter 1, on the front side, the front bookend is verse 7 of chapter 1, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." We jump over to Proverbs 31 and go to verse 30 and this description of this lady here. Verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." If you want to acquire wisdom, then you begin with the fear of the Lord. Now, we can talk a lot about what fear of the Lord means and doesn't mean. I don't see this as often as I used to, but some people really think about God and they think of him as some divine killjoy. And so they do something in life that's wrong. They're afraid that God will just jump out and squash them like a bug. And so they fear the Lord. That example of fear, my wife got a new dog. Now, this dog weighs 2 pounds. She's just barely there. She doesn't even qualify as a dog yet, I don't think. But the reality is she got this new dog, and so for this new dog, all the world is new. She's 2 months old, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. So everything's new. So Teresa and I had to go to Odessa the last couple of days, and so we had to take this dog with us. This dog is so small and so new. And so she has to do dog things. For a 4-hour trip, it was not all that. So before we could even get out of the city of El Paso, we had to stop and let this dog practice being a dog. So we're at the backside of a business way off over by Zaragoza in that area, in the spaghetti bowl over there, and put this dog down, and she freaked out because of the traffic noise in that area. She had never heard that before. And so I look down at her, and she's standing there looking at me, and her whole body is shaking. That's genuine fear. How do you view God? When you think of God, do you have that kind of response to him? Is that even what the writer of Proverbs is talking about? And I would say, no, that's not the full biblical picture of what fearing God means. What fearing God means may include a little bit of that healthy respect that he could squash you if he wanted to. He doesn't. Good news is he doesn't want to squash you. But he will discipline you. And so the full picture of the fear of the Lord is an awareness of who God is that triggers how you respond to Him in your life. The fear of the Lord, if we take the book of Proverbs as the example, the fear of the Lord is that which causes you to bow your knee to Him and allow Him to call the shots on how life works. And then you do that. But you see, that's a problem for us because our sin nature causes us to want to dig in and to hold God at arm's length and say, well, I'll call you when I need you. Doesn't it make sense that the designer of life, that's God, and the one who empowers life, that's God. Doesn't it make sense that we would let Him call the shots on how we live? I say it does make sense. And so the fear of the Lord says, I will bow my knee to you, and I submit my will to yours, and I commit myself to live life the way you say it needs to be lived. If you're committed to doing that, you'll love the book of Proverbs because it will help you to do that. And the product that it gives to you, well, read Proverbs 31 and you'll get it. The question is, have you taken that first step of submitting to His authority and living according to the truth that He has laid out for us? That first step is that you recognize your need for Him, and you recognize that your sin separates you from Him, and that you recognize that Jesus Christ is the cure for your sin problem, and He's the one who pulls the relationship back to where it was designed to be in the first place. Do you live in the fear of God that allows you to bow your knee to Him and say, I will live according to your design? Bow your heads and pray with me, if you will. And Father, as we come to pray and we come to close this service, we ask you to help each of us to be honest and to be searching to see if we have determined to live in the fear of God that brings wisdom. Have we? Help us where we haven't. Give us everything we need to bow our knee and acknowledge you as God, and to take life that you offer us through Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of our sin, and the life that comes, the relationship and the fellowship that you give us through that, that today, right now, would be the day that we all choose the way of life through Jesus Christ. And then to live lives in the fear of the Lord, submitting to your authority, lives marked by wisdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand and let's